And once again, brother, thank you for playing that harmonica. That's great. We love it. We do love it. Thank you so much. We've been working our way for a long, long, long time now through 1 Peter in here. And for the past three times, we've been in the same passage of Scripture. We're going to be there one more time today. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. And I just think there's so much packed into it that we just kind of have to take our time and open it up little by little. Remember, Peter is writing to these Christians who have been going through some rough times. It's not been easy for them. You remember they had to flee their homes. They were exiles. They had to move to a new place. Why? Because some people hated them. It's always been irrational, but there have always been people who hated believers in Christ, and they'd driven them out of their homes. So they were having a rough time. Well, when we get to chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, he gives them a list of commands that he wants to make sure they don't forget. These are important things. You'll find it other places in Scripture. But he wants to remind them these are very important. And it's so important when you're going through a rough time to be reminded of these things. Because when we're going through a rough time, you know what tends to happen to us? If we're not careful, if we're in the flesh, we'll start focusing on ourselves. We'll get so focused on ourselves and our circumstances that we forget to focus on God's commands and God's Word and God's principles and what it means to love other people. Thank you. Come on in, ladies. It's good to see you. Good to see you. Glad you could come on down. So, God wants us to remember to think biblically and to think in a godly way during those tough times. That's what these people are having to do. So, we've been working our way down that list. And now we've reached verse 11. We'll pick it up in the last part of verse 11. Before we do, let's ask God to help us understand what we're reading. So, Father, we're about to read Your Word. And we know Your Word is powerful. It is Your Word. It came from You, not from men. And we thank You that You used Peter to write these things down for us and to preserve these things for us so that we would have this part of Your Word to encourage us, especially when we're going through tough times. So would You please help us to concentrate on what You're saying to us? Would You help us to be teachable, humble in our hearts, open to You, so that You can teach us and make us more like Jesus? We pray You would use Your Word now and help me to communicate clearly. If there's something I'm supposed to say that I haven't thought about, please bring it to my mind. If there's something I was planning to say but I shouldn't, please help me to realize that and not say it. We just want to be led by You here. So would You be our teacher and help us to grow stronger in Jesus? We pray in His name. Amen. Amen. So the 12th, amen, Deborah, and the 12th and 13th commands in this list are where we're at now. And it's the last part of verse 11, and we'll take them together, and it's obvious why we're taking them together, because they sound almost the same. The 12th command says, seek peace. Seek peace. And I think he's talking about peace with other people here in this particular place, making sure we're getting along well with other people as well as we can. And the 13th command right after it says, pursue it. Seek peace, he says, and then he says, don't just seek it, pursue it. I think it's God's way of underlining. He's underlining this. He's saying this is really, really important. Don't miss it. The word pursue here pictures a hound dog on the hunt. And he's after what he's hunting. And what are we after? Well, in this case, we're after peace with others. He's saying hunt this down, pursue it. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't just say you ought to be peaceable. That would be good. That would be a good command. A godly command. And he doesn't even just stop with saying, seek peace. He did say that here, seek peace. He says, look for it. But of course, even though that's good and we need to seek it, he goes even further. He says, I know you guys are having a tough time. I know that things are not easy for you right now. You're living in tough days. And I want you to stay peaceable, yes. Not only that, I want you to seek peace, yes. Not only that, I want you to pursue it like a hunting dog on a hunt. So he's saying, do everything in your power, without sin, of course, without compromising God's truth. We don't want to ever do that, but do everything short of that to find peace. Paul said it this way back in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. You'll probably remember this verse. He said, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And I like the way the New Living Translation translates this verse. It says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. That ought to be one of our big goals here. Now, you know as well as I that there's some people that are easier to live at peace with than others, right? I mean, that's just life. It seems like some people just kind of have a perpetual burr under the saddle. You know what I mean? They got a perpetual chip on their shoulder, just daring somebody to knock it off. Some people just kind of seem to be in a continual state of just irritation, or really close to being irritated. They just kind of go through life like that. And you think, boy, I got to be careful. They're going to snap at me. We all know people like that. And God's saying, yes, them too. If it's possible, it may not be possible, but if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with those people. With everyone, he says, with everyone. Now, he's making room here in Romans chapter 12 for the real possibility that it might not be possible for everybody. He says, if it's possible, so there may be some people that just won't do it, but we can do our best to try, you know, to live at peace with all those people. So, if we perceive that somebody's upset with us, maybe we just need to say, Lord, would you please help me know what to say and how to say it or what not to say so that maybe I could help bring peace between us? Maybe there's something I could do that would be loving and gracious to them that might solve the problem. One thing God does not want us to do is just sit back and say, well, they know where I am. If they want to be peaceable with me, they can come and make it right. No, God says, no, don't wait on that. You take the initiative and live it as much as possible. Live at peace with other people. Jesus said it this way, actually, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5. He said, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and while you're there you remember that your brother has something against you, you know what he said? Leave your gift. Leave your gift, he said, leave it at the altar and just go. And first be reconciled to your brother and then come back and offer your gift. Now, what point is Jesus making there? He's saying this. He's saying, as far as it lies in your power, keeping peace with your brothers in Christ and sisters, of course, with other people is so important. He said, it's even more important than worship. And that's stunning because you know how important worship is to God. I mean, all the way through the Scripture, we're taught we need to learn to worship God and worship Him fully and praise Him more and more. And He's saying, yeah, that's important. You better do that. But first, be reconciled to your brothers. It's just so important. Well, back in 1 Peter 3, God commands some important things. And then He gives us some motivation. We've looked at all the commands. He gives us some motivation to do those commands. And we need to think about this, especially when times are tough. For one thing, you may remember back in verse 10, and this is when he's quoting Psalm 34. He said, whoever desires to love life and see good days, whoever desires to love life and see good days, do these things. So he's saying, if you want to enjoy a good life, if you want to experience the joy of the Lord in this life, if you want to see good days, then take these things seriously that I've been telling you. When we focus our attention on the Lord, it tends to fill our hearts with joy. He does. He brings joy to us. And He wants us to learn that even in the most painful times in this life, even the toughest times in this life, and my wife just shared with you that we've been going through some very difficult times these past few weeks, God says, you can still be full of my joy. Not happiness. We're not happy. There are many times we're not happy with our circumstances. But even in the middle of the pain and even in the middle of the tears, we can have a deep, powerful contentment with God. And that's what He wants us to keep. His peace, His joy, all the way through life. We know He's in control. We know He's not going to go away from us. We know we can trust Him. We know the things we can't understand now, we'll understand later. We just trust Him. And we have this powerful joy in the Lord. People who don't have that joy and don't have that peace, usually they're missing it because instead of focusing on Him, we're focusing on ourselves and our circumstances. And when we focus on ourselves and our circumstances, that almost always drives out the joy. We lose it. Sometimes we're indulging in some kind of sin, sinful attitude or sinful thinking, and then it's hard for us to gaze at Him because we know He's saying, hey, you need to quit that. You need to repent. You need to get that right. And sometimes we don't want to hear that. So if we will gaze on Him and focus on Him, He'll give us that joy. He says, you just obey me, and you can have that same kind of joy that other believers have had in the midst of horrible circumstances. They've been through it too. And back in verse 9, He gave us even more motivation for obedience. You remember this? He said, don't repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called. Why? That you may obtain a blessing. that you may obtain a blessing. God says, I want to bless you. You're going to have to figure out how to bless others. You bless others, you'll enjoy a blessing yourself. We talked about that the other day. And we know it's true. You've experienced it. And then in verse 12, he says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. What's God saying? He's saying, I'm watching out for you. I'm watching over you. I'm right there with you, whatever you're going through. I'm listening to your prayers. I know what your burdens are. I'm tuned in to you. I know what your situation is. I'm convinced that one of the greatest joys in the Christian life in the future, maybe even after this life is over, sometimes maybe during this life, is to look back and see how God has worked as a result of prayers. He hears prayers and He answers prayers. He privileges us to work with Him. He's got a plan He's working out here, and we get to get in on it when we pray and agree with God and pray for others and intercede, and God's answering those prayers. And sometimes it's very intricate. Sometimes it's very complex. And sometimes ways we didn't even anticipate. Sometimes we don't even recognize it, I think. You know, God's answering our prayers and we don't even know it. We don't see it. But someday, I think one of the joys of being with Him forever is going to be looking back and saying, wow, look how He worked through His kids' prayers. Just all intricately, beautifully, this tapestry He's weaving down here in our lives. It's an awesome thing. But He doesn't stop here. Just in case all these wonderful promises aren't enough. Now, they're wonderful promises. The joy of the Lord, the blessings of God, God watching over us, God hearing and answering our prayers. But just in case He said you need a little more motivation, He gives us the last part of verse 12. And some people don't like this, but God says it. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God's saying, just in case my blessings, just in case my joy, just in case my watching over you and answering your prayers is not enough to motivate you, let me remind you of this. If you choose to disobey me, I'm going to set my face against you. Now that's not very pleasant to hear, but it's true. And God's got a purpose for it. It's not unusual for me to hear someone try to tell me that we Christians shouldn't use what they call scare tactics to try to get somebody to follow Jesus or to try to get somebody to obey the Lord. They want to say, all we need to do is focus on love. Now, I agree, love ought to be a powerful motivator. There shouldn't be a more powerful motivator in the world than love. And we need to be loving people and telling them how much God loves them, and He does that all the way through His Word. But I believe I know why God adds this. Sometimes we need something a little more severe to warn us, to keep us from sin, because sin can be so very attractive. And God wants us to know that's deadly stuff. It may look good, but it's deadly. And God wants us to know there's a horrible consequence for sin. And He doesn't want us to forget that. Do you remember back in Leviticus in the Old Testament? God had His people stand on two different hills. Do you remember that story? There's a whole bunch of tribes on Mount Gerizim, and there's another bunch of tribes on Mount Ebal. You remember that? And you remember what they did? The ones on Mount Gerizim shouted out the blessings that came from obeying God. And the ones on Mount Ebal had to shout out the curses that came from disobeying God. God wanted His people to know, even back then, you obey me, there are great blessings. You disobey me, there are terrible consequences. And He wanted them to understand that. So He's telling that to us. You know, there are terrible consequences if we disobey Him. That's why I believe all the way through Scripture, God's talked so much about the importance of fearing Him. We're not afraid He's going to slap us around for no reason. He doesn't do that. He loves us. But we always have to be afraid of the consequences of disobedience. We take Him very seriously when He gives us commands. To refuse to do that just because it sounds negative, and some people do that. They say, well, it sounds negative to me, so I don't want to talk about it. It's kind of like putting your head down in the sand. And it's kind of wishful thinking. And at the worst, what we do is we paint this understanding of God with our imagination, not with Scripture. And it may make us think that God doesn't really care that much about sin. But He does. And we can even cheat somebody else out of an important motivation to repent of that sin and get things right with God. So we need to tell both sides of the story. I once knew, I hadn't seen him in many, many years, but I was pretty close for a few years to a pastor. And he had been preaching many, many years. And he once bragged to me that he had never, ever preached on the wrath of God and he had never, ever preached on the judgment of God. And I remember being shocked. And I thought, wow, you're leaving out a lot of Scripture. But in his mind, it was negative. But I thought, sometimes we just need to hear that. Sometimes we need to hear it so we can realize how serious it is. Now, I know There's some angry preachers out there who just seem to never want to preach anything but the wrath of God, and I think that's a tragedy, and some of them sound very angry. We ought to be grieved when we talk about the wrath of God, but we need to talk about it. It's real. And God wants us to know how awesome His love is, and He wants us to walk in that love, but He wants us to know that sin carries a horrific consequence. You remember what He said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7? Do not be deceived, He said. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. There are consequences. Remember what it said in Hebrews 10? A lot of people don't like this verse, but listen to what God says. This is in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. For we know Him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And every now and then we need to refocus on verses like this and remind ourselves God's very serious about His commands. Very serious. And we have many people today, and this is sad. Now, this is part of the problem with our nation right now. They've grown into adulthood with no fear of God. So when temptations to come to sin, and they come to all of us, don't they? I mean, we're all tempted to sin. And when it comes, that's the reason it's called temptation. It's very tempting. You know, it looks good. It looks like it's going to bring us pleasure. It looks like it's going to be fun. It's tempting. And when people have no fear of God, they're ripe for the picking. They're going to fall into that stuff and start excusing it. And then the long-range consequences, they don't want to think about that. They don't want to believe they're there, but they are. And they finally come. You know how much God loved Adam and Eve, right? I mean, He loved them. He made them, put them in the garden, gave them a beautiful place to live, walked with them in the cool of the day. When they chose to sin, what did God do? Well, think of, first of all, what He didn't do. He didn't say, Adam, Eve, you shouldn't have eaten that fruit. Now, you need to learn to mind me. You need to try to do better. Don't do it again now. He didn't just smack them on their hands, did He? What did He do? They had to learn a powerful lesson about the horror of sin. And hopefully we can learn. He put it in His Word so we could learn it. He cursed the ground. And Adam had a lifetime sentence of hard labor from that point. It was not easy for Adam from then on. He drove them out of the garden. He placed the curse of death on them. And He wants us to realize, as He wanted them to realize, sin is deadly. And God is deadly serious about it. He just loves us too much to let us get by thinking it's no big deal. And if we don't learn it now, sooner or later we will. The pain will come sooner or later. And it'll be very painful. Well, it might sound like I'm ending the Bible study on a negative note. And maybe I am. Maybe it just depends on our response. If we have a repentant heart and an obedient heart, it's a positive note. Because He said, what, you're going to get joy. You're going to get life. You're going to get blessings. Presence of God. Answered prayers. That's pretty positive stuff. All we have to do is trust Jesus. Love Jesus. Let Him work in our hearts. He'll help us obey His commands. You know, He'll give us the strength we need. But if we choose to stay in sin, yeah, I guess it's pretty negative. It's negative for all of us when we choose to stay in sin. But even then, the outcome can be positive. If we just learn from God and repent and obey Him, that's pretty positive. Because He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We just have to quit excusing it and agree with Him. And not rationalize, not think we're so good. Say, Lord, I need Your forgiveness. I need Your cleansing. And He's there. He's there all the time. So, Father, thank You so much for these words of commands and these words of assurance and these words of warning that You've given us in Your Word. Father, we have all blown it many times. And how we thank You that our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come, die on that cross, shed His blood, and die for us. We know He had no sin of His own. He gave His life voluntarily so that we could be cleansed by simply trusting You, trusting Jesus, receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thank You so much that He conquered death, that He rose again for us. And thank You, Father, that the day is coming when we too, by Your grace, will rise again with new bodies, glorified bodies, eternal bodies. And Lord, from then on, it's going to be so awesomely wonderful. And we're looking forward to that day. Help us between now and then, even during the tough times, to keep our focus on You, to obey Your commands, to remember how powerfully You want to help us if we'll just let You, to walk closely and to let you glorify yourself through our lives. So would you please help us stay very, very close. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.